Well, let's get to our guest. It's Steve Sosnick, Chief Strategist at Interactive Brokers. Steve, we also had kind of a three-day delay on the statement from the G20, and the headline's kind of cute. The guardians of the global economy have been told to buckle up. That doesn't exactly inspire all that much confidence in the immediate future. For you, Steve, is that peril or opportunity over the next 6 to 12 months?
Good morning, Brian. I'm going to say both. I think in the short term, it's probably a bit more perilous than not. There are so many cross currents that we're having to deal with right now. And, you know, uncertainty is easier to deal with when the fiscal and monetary winds are at your back. When they're in your face, it's just that much harder to deal with, and it's so much harder to predict. The reason I agree that there's some opportunity, of course, is there will always be stocks that are beaten up. There's always going to be sectors that are beaten up unfairly. But you have to do a bit of mining for those. It's not you're not just going to dip the pan into the stream and come up with a lot of gold. You're going to have to really sift through it and find what works.
Well, using that analogy, you buy the shovel then, don't you? And the saucepan itself, don't you?
That's who makes the money in the gold mining business, right? It's the people selling the shovels and the picks and everything else. I think right now we there's so many crises that we have to get through. I think this is why going defensive in terms of your stock selection, your asset allocation probably makes a lot of sense, because there's all the things that people still need to buy. There's all the things that are just going to be bought or sold regardless of whether the economy goes up or down, and which is why I'm sort of favoring consumer staples, that sort of stuff, because consumers still have the money to spend.
The tricky thing is that the macro is still weighing heavily. And we just ran that story about Jeremy Hunt and Liz Truss. Do you think what happened in the UK kind of presages a battle between governments and central banks that no traders would be looking forward to seeing?
Yeah, that was pretty much really a careful what you wish for type of moment, where the policies from the fiscal side were pretty much at odds with what the central bank is trying to do. What scares me about the UK situation more than anything, I'm far from the most expert on the politics of it, but what really bothered me was that there was this strategy used by huge numbers of funds that ultimately required them to sell assets into a declining market. As someone whose sort of formative market experience was the 87 crash, which was the thesis of portfolio insurance, sell futures into a declining market, any strategy that involves that on a large scale scares the heck out of me. And that's really...
And also, Steve, with the backdrop of a rapidly declining currency.
Oh, absolutely, Rashad. I mean, I hate to use the term perfect storm, but this was sort of what everything that could go wrong did. And I guess, Mr. Kwarteng, was the scapegoat, or I don't know if he was scapegoated or not. Again, I'm not the best expert on UK-specific politics, but, boy, that was, this is not the time for a major policy misstep. And it's really not the time, maybe even for bold policy moves, because it's not clear how the market's going to take any of them.
Yeah.
As we just mentioned, Ed was talking about Xi Jinping's speech yesterday. One thing which struck a lot of the commentators at the time was he didn't really mention COVID by name. He didn't also really say the word market or free market at all. Does this, again, just perhaps cement what's really been the actuality?
I think so. I think that, the COVID policy has been in the backdrop. I think their continued use of the zero COVID policy, I think they have to realize has caused some issues both economically and socially. And so maybe this shows a little bit of easing off that policy. In general, I think what we want to hear from them is just something, Will we be getting sort of the China of old, or will we be getting a new version of China, a slower growing, somewhat more stagnant, more mature market, or economy? And I think that that's something the world has to reckon with, because we've already seen that it's not particularly helpful when you have a fairly stagnant China. And I think back to sort of the aftermath of the global financial crisis, when a growing China, you know, sort of counterbalanced a shrinking rest of the world. If China's not particularly growing and no one else is, that's not particularly helpful. And I don't know that Xi Jinping, assuaged many people that the situation might turn around abruptly.
One of the key points is that he really believes that China is an admired alternative model for development on the global stage that counters the U.S.-led multilateral and democratic system. Do you see many countries that will embrace this path or want to embrace this path?
I don't see that. I'm sure there are sort of. There's got to be some autocratic leaders out there who would prefer the Chinese model, which is more autocratic than most of the rest of the developed world. But I don't see that as necessarily if people are rioting for freedoms or whatever, I don't see them really rioting to adopt the Chinese model. I see that being imposed from top down.
Okay, but that's China itself. But that does throw up a lot of other EMs out there. And how closely do you look at them? And how closely are your clients now looking at them? Given that they've been so beaten up, as we've been, people just have not been prepared to put risk on the table for any length of time.
We are not seeing people really actively talking about or looking at emerging markets right now. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that means that if there's a complete lack of interest, it's a buying opportunity. But this is a difficult environment. A strong dollar, is a big problem for so many emerging markets, particularly the ones who borrow in dollars. So there's a lack of interest. There's sort of a very strong wariness about emerging markets right now, and it's probably with good reason. But it echoes what I said earlier.
Yeah,
they're not all bad. So the problem is finding which ones there are. And I got to say right now, I don't have a strong candidate to say this is the one we have to be looking at right now. I think it's going to reveal itself over a bit more time and require a lot more work, which frankly I have not done to find it. I have not been able to find it yet.
You mentioned that you see opportunity as well as danger. I guess the earnings season will give us a really good insight into some companies that are managing through this much better than others. Do you have an inkling of where they might come from, perhaps what sector or what type of company?
I think it's going to be a bit idiosyncratic. I think the problem right now that I think we've discussed in the past is it's not a great sign. I wish I could rearrange earnings season. I don't love that it starts with banks because they're very idiosyncratic. Nobody else has trading revenues. Nobody else is that interest rate focused. So we're going to really get in and see. I think the initial tells will be Netflix is this week, and I don't know that Netflix particularly is a great bellwether in and of itself as a company, but how we react to that stock is a great bellwether. Because think about it, January and April.
Steve.
Go.
That's all we got time for. Steve Sosnick, Chief Strategist at Interactive Brokers, getting his take on market prospects. This is Bloomberg.